Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, who are you?
I'm Jess.
I'm Jen.
We're Fat Mascara.
Happy post-Halloween.
Yeah, we're sitting in the dark here. We have a new studio setup thing.
And it's warm.
It's warm.
It's
we have to work out the kinks.
Too.
It's a little... Well, I feel like it's a very like slumber party. Like,
yeah, we turned off right? the lights to make it cooler. Hi.
Hi.
What do you want to talk
today?
About? I actually know what we want to talk about.
Okay.
First up, wildcrafting in beauty.
Okay.
Don't roll your eyes yet. I'm going to tell you all about
no, I'm
it.
I'm just smiling. Everyone okay. thinks I'm being cheeky.
Not being cheeky. Then dry, itchy skin advice for mothers and non-mothers.
Oh my God, I'm itching my belly all day long.
I see you doing that.
It's disgusting.
And lastly, so many of you DM us and email us when you're coming to New York City, which we love. Welcome to our hometown, for recommendations of like beauty things that you must mm-hmm. do or places you should go shopping. So we thought it might be fun to pull all that together into a list. Maybe you're coming for the holidays. Holiday season is hot in New York City.
Or maybe you want to tell your New York friend, like, what's up?
Yeah. So we're going to do that too. Who's our guest?
The wonderful Steven Nilsson. He is a perfumer with Givaudan, and he was just absolutely delightful and had a lot of like fun facts.
We learned a lot in this one.
I bought a new toothpaste after seeing him.
He sent me a toothpaste after seeing him.
He sent it to me, too. I was just trying to be funny.
Okay, let's do it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
So, Jen, tell me more about this wild crafting.
This is right up my alley. So, first of all, when I told Eric about this, he was like, isn't that just foraging? It's just like a fancy way of saying going out into the wilderness and picking the herbs and the berries and the ingredients instead of growing them.
Oh, okay. Because hence wild, like they're growing
it's
in the wild.
Wild. Okay. I know the wild crafting is definitely like a fancy marketing term. But I had seen this back in the day and so a couple fragrance companies were doing this and I wrote a story about it. Actually, I had a writer write a story about it. Juniper Ridge, maybe you remember.
Oh, my God, those guys.
Yeah. And they go out on land where they're allowed to pick and they pick, you know, herbs and whatever and distill them and make fragrances from them. Well, I just met with the founder of a skincare brand that's doing that.
Who?
I call it Alpine, but she told me it's actually Alpin, A-L-P-Y-N.
Mm, I have been calling it Alpine as well.
I know, okay. Which I think she's not mad at. She's based in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Her name's Kendra. And she basically was out and looking at all the beautiful ingredients that she saw on her land when she was hiking and everything and thinking these things survive through like snowstorms and they go through all like rain, whatever. Every morning she'll go out there thinking they're going to be gone because there was like a horrible rainstorm and they're like flourishing.
Right.
Beautiful herbs and things that are rich in. Guess what?
Wild.
You know
oats.
This story. No, antioxidants.
Okay.
So a lot of wildcrafted ingredients, and this is why I think you guys are going to be seeing more of this, they're plants that are really extremophiles because they need to survive in these harsher environments.
We see this kind of like as editors, very often this is the backstory of a lot of ingredients, like, you know, La Prairie, like this is the thing that, I'm sorry, La Prairie, I'm not saying verbatim, but like something that survived in the
oh,
coldest.
Oh yeah, the watermelon snow algae was one.
Was that
of
what it was called?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember Guerlain actually had something like an orchid. Remember
yes.
the orchid like imperial?
It grows where nothing else can
yeah.
grow.
Yeah, so this is not like a new concept, but the idea of like wild crafting this term, and I'm sure it's what Kendra is doing is a little bit different than
well, what
these other brands are doing.
Yeah, and what she explained is even if you take an ingredient like that and then you move it to a farm, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
you then still might need pesticides. And even if you're not using pesticides and it's organic, it's not in its natural habitat. So
yeah.
it's not thriving the way that it would in the wild because it has an easier life.
So you need to go to where like
yeah,
where it lives.
If I moved you to Blackberry Farm, like with your
I'd be
free Diet Coke delivery all day long,
Hog and Dawes.
You wouldn't be tough. You'd be soft. You'd be so soft. So the wildcrafted ingredients, you're getting, I haven't seen studies on this, so I can't promise this, but they are, the thought is they're more potent and more active than the same ingredients that would be grown on a farm.
Got it.
I do have to say, I just
the line
kind of,
is very pretty.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I kind of just love the line.
I think, and it's, you know, we all know that Tata Harper has her own farm in Vermont, but I know that she, when I went to the farm like 5 years ago, she's like pointed to a valley and she's like, that's where we get this, that, and the other thing. So
yes.
like she's not growing those things. Like she's actually getting it from that area of Vermont.
Yeah. And this is from, I believe, the mountains in Wyoming. So
yeah.
Alpen Beauty. But I guarantee you, you're going to be seeing more of this as a trend in beauty. And so watch this wild crafting space, people.
So Jen, I had this, this nice little tick lately where I realize it like 30 seconds into me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be like standing, talking to my boss or something, scratching my belly like a bear.
So I've noticed. Can I just say, like, it's not like a gentle, like, I have a scratch and let me itch it. It's like she forgets she's in public and is like going to town. And it's
like
same,
a 4-year-old.
It's on the sides of your belly. I've noticed you doing it like
it's
this.
Everywhere. It's on the top. It's on the sides. The skin is stretching.
In case you missed a couple episodes, Jess is pregnant. She's having my little fatty.
Little fatty.
Little fatty mascara. How's it going? So what are you doing to keep your skin like?
I've been oiling up like a goose. I don't know. Geese oil. I don't know. I've gotten so weird since I've been pregnant. I'm really sorry. I've just been oiling myself like a little hog. Ready? I've greased up like a hog.
It's getting worse. Okay. I don't know where you're going with this. So what have you been using?
So I've been using the Hatch Belly Oil because
oh, nice.
Lots of like moms have recommended it and it's very pretty too. And I'm full disclosure, they sent it to me and it's gorgeous. One thing I have to tell you though about using oils, just be careful about when you put them on when you're on a hardwood floor, because I've had to clean my floor a few times because you
yes.
could take a nasty spill. That's my PSA. But as for the reason, it's because of the itchy skin and then also stretch marks. And we can talk more about that in another episode.
When you get them. Mm-hmm. You don't have them yet. That happens at later, right?
I don't know. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Well, I think this is funny because it's also turning to a little bit colder weather here in New York, and I get really dry and itchy. I'm always a dry skin person. So I found this new product, and I fell in love with it, and I thought you'd really appreciate this because I was like, this is so cool. It's like purple and looks like hip-hop, urban, and it's called...
Oh, I know what you're using.
It's called Mother.
Right?
Mother. And I'm like, I'm so into it. It's like very... I don't know where they came up with this name, but it's the mother of all body mm-hmm. creams. It's the mother of all body oils. Dumbass that I am, I then decide to Google it after I've been using it and fell in love with it. It's a pregnancy line.
Yeah.
Of course I should have known that.
It's so big right now.
Oh my gosh. It's like all over Violet Grey. They love it
yeah.
and whatever. The body oil, you know I like an oil more than a butter or a lotion.
Yeah.
It absorbs like nobody's business. And so you don't get that like, you don't get the greased up hog feeling.
Yeah.
And it has a lovely mild
scent. To be fair, I use a lot.
Have you used this oil?
No, I'm saying like when I use oil, like I'm really going for it lately.
Well, this is a really good one. And can I just say it looks real chic on my...
I had to say it looks great. I have seen the packaging. They sent me a tub. I haven't gotten to use it yet, but it's gorgeous. It's like Mylar. It's like purple Mylar.
It does look like purple Mylar.
Yeah.
So even if you're not a mother to be, I think my tip for itchy skin in the winter, really think about an oil, not just a lotion in some cases. I don't know. That's my thought.
And try the pregnancy stuff. It's hardcore.
Come to New York and hang out with us.
Oh, I thought you were going to like break into some Sinatra or something. Or
I couldn't come up with a New York song, which is pretty lame. That means it's a long day here.
It's a long day and we're very warm.
But come visit us in New York because there's so much beauty stuff to do.
So yeah, we get like many times a week a DM that says like, hey, I'm visiting New York. Like, where are the hot beauty spots? And we realized that we should probably just address this in the podcast. I also want to put this on the website, too.
Yeah. Like I have, right now, it's in my notes app, and I copy and paste it to everyone. But I like to tailor it to different people because maybe they're into, like, manicures or maybe they want to go shopping. Mm-hmm. But let's just hit – we'll add more onto the website as we go. But hit me with some of your favorites, Jess. What should a beauty aficionado do in New York City?
So let's – you know, manicures are everywhere. Like, this is like the land of the nail salon.
What's your spot?
So my spot – changes all the time because I usually get manicures on the fly, or I'll go like after work just to like the corner place like called Nail Stage. But this, if you're visiting New York and you want something special, I have to tell you my favorite place is Sweet Lily. Have you ever been to Sweet Lily?
No.
So Sweet Lily, I believe it's down on West Broadway, but it's in Tribeca. I remember when I was an intern at Bazaar, so this is many moons ago, my friend Tori, if you're listening, hi, told me about this place.
Wait, is this a place that has like armchairs that look like shabby chic?
It's all shabby chic.
Okay, I went in there. It was not for me, but go on. Go
not
on.
Not for you. I was just like, I could die here.
It's so cute and country-y, like
it's
homey.
It's very country, homey. They have these shabby chic, like, you know, armchairs where you sit there and then they bring a little like bucket to you.
Yes.
Which I like because it's also cleaner that they have the bucket.
Yes, my favorite manicure spot, Jinsoon, for a pedicure actually,
yes,
also does the same thing where there's no hooked up sink thing. Mm-hmm. It's all gross.
So I don't know. I think it's very serene. You don't hear people yapping on their phone. I think even one time they gave me a cookie. They had me at the cookie. It's just really peaceful. This is not your dash in, dash out place.
No, that's a good one. Can I add one more manicure before you go? I also like to get my gels at Paintbox, and I've tried all the gel places, and I keep going back there because it lasts, and they've got a machine. They get you in, they get you out. Like,
yeah, you're really into Paintbox.
I am. They do a good job. So what else do you like?
Okay, so now let's talk about facials. Like, my most dreaded question is, like, who do you go for facials? And, like, as an editor, I'm sure you can relate. You know, we try different people, meet different, you know, facialists. But if I want to treat myself, I go to one spot.
Where?
Naturopathica.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite. Bold statement. It's my favorite spa in New York.
I love their recovery room.
Oh, my God. The recovery room. Tell everyone about the recovery room.
It's like you're... Because I like it because I feel like I'm outdoors.
Yeah.
Because it smells like a forest, mm-hmm, and there's like a night sky. I don't know.
Can buy the oil that makes it smell like a forest there.
It's just... It's not clinical and white, and it just feels... Cool.
It's like a planetarium.
Like, it's like a planetarium.
Yeah.
But like the best planetarium.
And the seats are real low, so you just gotta like, you know, let go and like sit down in them. And then you look at all of these beautiful like natural imagery that's projected
that's
onto
like
the
it.
Wall.
Yeah.
And then it, like you said, Jen, it smells like cedar. You know, it's just really wonderful. But this is a great spa because it's not, to your point, it's not like, you know, fluffy white robes, you know, like 75 doors before you get to your thing. It's on the street level. There's a great store and an amazing little like tea bar on the left. Get the rose latte. Delicious. You walk in, you change right there. There's like a little locker room. And then bam, you go to relaxation room if you want. And then you go into your treatment. And it's like all one-stop shop.
There's not too much pomp and circumstance.
Hate when
they're
like, still elevated.
Miss blah, blah, blah. And it's like when you go to a resort spa.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, we all know why I'm here. Like, let's do this. But it's still relaxing.
Yeah.
And
then I've never had a bad treatment there, and I've been there a lot of times. Do you ever get facials?
The only person I've been back to more than once is Edita at Dr. Paul Jared Frank's office.
She has a following.
Oh, my God. Hands of gold. Like all the enfleurage or whatever they do.
Mm.
And her extractions are divine. And she uses that MDNA products that I just feel like I walk out of there looking like Madonna, but like, you know, maybe 10 years ago. Madonna. Okay, what else you got?
But people ask also about blowouts. So I love a blowout, but all blowouts are not created equal.
Oh, we could do a whole podcast on bad blowouts in New York.
Exactly. I've never gotten a bad blowout at Dream Dry. So You could go to like a, your salon. You could listen. You can go to any salon. You'll see whether it's like just like a random one on the street or like a fancy salon. You know, blowouts. I might say like $40, or if you go to like, you know, a really fancy salon, your blowout may be like $75. Dream Dry, I think it's about $45 or $50. There's two locations: one in like Nomad area, and then one right by our office on 57th. My hair looks awesome every time I leave Dream Dry.
Wow. And I could say I've never, ever gotten a blowout. I even blow out my own hair usually when I get my hair done.
What?
Because I like my hair to be naturally wavy. And every time I get a blowout,
my hair's naturally wavy too. It doesn't
pull out that round brush. They do that twirly twirl. And I'm like, and I don't have time. I ain't got time for that. I'm going to do it better myself.
Oh, my God. Well, you know,
also get an arm workout while I'm doing it. I will say I'm loyal to Eva Scrivo for my hair color. I go to Mary Kate there.
Okay.
But she knows better than she's like, am I going to blow out your hair? Like, I'll let her every now and then because she wants to see the color. And she does, like, she's a perfectionist. I was like, oh, fine. You can blow it out. But that's rare.
So your hair always looks good. I'm not saying you need a blowout, but like,
no, it's not for me.
If I get a blowout, I feel like I'm like 3 inches taller and like 10 pounds lighter.
Nice. Okay.
And then I have one more.
Okay. And then I have a shopping thing.
Okay. I went to this place and I was really impressed. It's a weird one. It's called Stretched. And it's a studio. It's Stretched.
I remember you had the time of your life there.
Yes. You get there. The lights are bright. I wish they would turn down the lights a little bit. It's a little like you're going to PT. Mm-hmm. You're in like a little area and like you're on a bed. And this man, okay, I had a man.
I remember because you told me he was hot. Yeah.
Just like pull you in different ways.
What are you wearing?
Ways.
Give them
sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Yeah. You're not naked.
No. Oh, God, no. Just like sweatpants and a t-shirt and like your socks. I think I wore my own clothes because I think they tell you you need to wear sweatpants and t-shirt or something. And they just put you in positions and stretch you in a way that you can't stretch yourself.
It sounds like a little bit like a Thai massage too, where it's like an active massage.
That's why I wish they would turn down the lights a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it feels more like PT.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
My last thing is I want everybody to do like, I call it like the fragrance mile. It's not even a mile. Mm-hmm. There is an area, I think this is Soho, but also NoHo, Lafayette, Crosby, Mulberry. Every fragrance shop, you could go on a sniffing adventure.
Yeah.
You've got Olfactory NYC, where you can make your own perfume, which is so much fun to do, and they're not expensive. You've got DS and Durga, one of my faves, on the corner. Mm-hmm. Le Labo, Klaus Porto is there.
Wow.
There's a Credo down on the corner. Cire Trudon, Candle Store of Dreams. But they also have some fragrances. And then Fueguilla 1833, that Argentinian fragrance company. And all of this, I swear to you, is like in a teeny tiny radius of like maybe 100 yards. So like if you want to go to downtown and go on a sniffing adventure, I'll put links to all of them on our website. But you could just like have a whole day of smelling perfumes.
There's another store down there that I wanted to
have.
Min, M-I-N.
Oh, I almost said that. But then I was like, I literally was like, I actually don't know how to pronounce this brand name.
Let's just spell it.
But it's got big M, little I,
and then a big N, yeah.
Yeah, so I never know what to say.
They have a fragrance that I had a sample of, and I used it to the bitter end, and I almost went and bought it. It's called Chef's Table. I feel like you would like it.
Yes.
Because it has like blend of tomato.
It's got a green smell.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've never smelled it anyplace else. I don't know if it's their own.
Is it a fashion brand too, or no? It's just fragrances.
To my knowledge, it's just fragrances.
It's very cool. Like you walk in there, you're like, am I cool enough to shop here? I feel like that in a lot of the retail places downtown, but you know when you walk in, you're like, is there anybody working here?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, we will leave those out of our list, but we'll put links to all these stores that we just mentioned, and we'll keep adding to it as we go, make it a special page, I think, so that when you're going to New York, you know where you could do your beauty things.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah.
That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So we're here with Steven Nilsson, a perfumer at Givaudan, and I met him, or maybe I re-met him, we're not sure, at a Kenneth Cole event recently, and we totally hit it off. He's so passionate about fragrance and ingredients, and he's made so many amazing perfumes, so we wanted to have him on the podcast to talk about all that. Welcome, Steven.
Thanks
Welcome.
For having me.
Also, we just learned that he was a college radio host.
You're listening to WREK Atlanta 91.1 FM.
So soothing.
It's great.
It just goes down the back of your head, your neck. It's so nice.
Maybe I should do ASMR.
Oh, yeah. Side gig. Yeah. You have a lovely voice. Okay, so let's get into fragrance. Feel free to mix music in as we go, whatever you like. What's the first smell that you remember?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I remember the actual room I was in when I smelled it. And it was an old bottle of Shalimar. And you know when you have a bottle where there's just a little bit of brown left at the bottom? Mm-hmm. And I was very young and I didn't even know what it was. And it was in the attic of my grandmother's house. And I went into this little room. It didn't even have any windows. And it was where women put on makeup. And I opened it up and I thought, what the heck is this? And it was that stoppered bottle that's conical and it was the flat bottle. And I it's one of those times where you remember the moment and you're like, this really changed my life. And I can remember that moment right now.
You were entranced.
Entranced, completely.
That was my grandmother's favorite perfume. So it, for me, is like one of my earliest memories, scent memories, too.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's a beautiful fragrance. I feel like Shalimar doesn't get enough play.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a classic. I mean, it created so many trends. I always say it's kind of the original gourmand trend. A lot of the fragrances that we smell, that we fall in love with, use an overdose of an ingredient. And Shalimar really had this great vanillic background, this vanillic ambery background, and that's contrasted with the citrus freshness. So some people smell it and they say, I love Shalimar because it's so fresh and it's that great top note. And then other people love it because it's so warm, but it's put together in such a way that everyone can find a point of entry to it, and it just makes it really, really special.
Yeah, and if you combine it with Virginia Slim cigarettes, then that is the smell that I love.
That's right.
Okay, so how did you go from being like a college disc jockey to a perfumer? Were you like frustrated behind the turntables? Were you thinking about being a perfumer, or did it just kind of happen?
It's kind of started from the Shalimar, and I really thought, wow, this is really what I love. And I remember reading an article in National Geographic back in about the early 70s, but the quote was something like, if your grandfather wasn't a French perfumer and your father wasn't a French perfumer and you're not a French person, then you're not going to be a perfumer.
And don't you think there's some truth to that?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore?
No, there's so many opportunities. I'll get to that a little later.
All right.
But again, that was kind of, I just said, okay, well, it's not going to be my career. But I remember, and even in high school, I could smell fragrances on women. I'd say, oh, you're wearing White Shoulders or you're wearing such and such. It was just a passion of mine. And so I just instead, it's easier, like I always say, to get a PhD in chemical engineering than it is to become a perfumer.
He also has a PhD in chemical engineering, just so you know.
But
you're
what
a doctor?
I'm saying is that that's a path. And the path to perfumery is so random. And so to find yourself in it is a long, long journey. And so you just, it's really driven by passion and patience. And I tell anybody who wants to get into perfumery or do something with perfumes, hold on to those two things. Always be patient. Keep your vision on what you love and keep your passion. Don't let that burn out.
How common is it for a perfumer to have a PhD in chemical engineering?
There's in chemical engineering, not very common. But I always say that, you know, when I look around my office, Kalise Becker, she was mm-hmm. studying mathematics. She did J'adore. So she came in through another science side. Mm-hmm. Rodrigo Flores came in through botany and biology. So oh, he wow. came in through another side. Some Quentin Biche, who's in a great perfumer in Paris, he was an actor. So people can come into this through many different ways. Caroline Sabas, her family owns a perfumery, a small perfume house in the south of France. So she came in through the traditional mm-hmm. father was a French perfumer, blah, blah, blah. So everyone finds their own path into the industry. And again, it's if you love it, you're going to find your way. And once you get in it, you just can't let go.
And did you go to the traditional route in Grasse and went to the perfumery school in however many years it is? What was your training like?
Yeah. Do you have a box of tissues and a cup of coffee to keep you awake? Because you may cry and you may fall asleep.
Okay. But make us cry. Go.
Okay. No, I mean, it's really a hard path. So I just said, you know, when I was graduating with my degree, I contacted a bunch of houses to see if they had opportunities. And I still have all the rejection letters. And I just said, you know, but let's keep a vision. And if it doesn't happen today, even if it happens in 30 years, that's my passion. That'll make me happy.
Back to the patience thing.
Patience. And so my first entry was actually making consumer goods, working with Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati. And I was actually started as a flavorist. I love cooking and I love the ingredients because it's all so connected with fragrances. And so when I had an opportunity to get into flavors, I jumped at it and it was a great opportunity.
Flavors, like how would that manifest? Like, can you tell us something, the kind of thing you were working on? Is that like chewing gum or are we talking about laundry detergent? Yeah.
So at the time I was at P&G, they actually had a variety of products. I was in the healthcare. So that was things like oral care and healthcare would be things like Pepto-Bismol. Those mm-hmm. all have flavors in them to cover up the active ingredients. We can make a
it's
medicine.
Important work.
We can make a medicine taste like anything. And so it was a lot of fun. It was like my cousin used to always say, you're like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And it really was like that. But they also had Duncan Hines at the time. They had Sunny Delight. So there were a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different training. And it was a great training ground. Some of the smartest people I've worked with. Really a great company.
So you did some Sunny D. No, we don't know if you did Sunny
no,
D.
No, I didn't do Sunny D. But
also,
I know
what
the
a blast from
did.
The past, right?
Oh, my gosh.
When you moved into fine perfumery mm-hmm. after you got your training, what are some of the fragrances that people might know that you've created?
Well, when I first got into the industry, there was the celebrity was big. And so I worked with a lot of different celebrities from minor celebutantes to really.
Give us like a ballpark time period of this.
So when I left P&G, I started at Quest International in 2001. So okay. January of 2001. And I had an opportunity to work on a fragrance for the Tommy Hilfiger brand that was the True Star, which was my first really big win. And the face of True Star
Beyonce.
Was the bingo.
I remember that was the one time I met Beyonce was at the Tommy True Star event. Were you there?
Probably.
Maybe that's where we met, Stephen.
Yeah, maybe. We go way
wow.
back.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So that was, I think that was my first, you know, kind of the first one that I really was you know, kind of your big win, your first win. And then I've gone on to work with a variety of brands and then quite a few celebrities. I worked with Drew Barrymore for her line. And I worked with Madonna on her Truth or Dare. And
no biggie.
Yeah. She's amazing. She is a real visionary.
Yeah. What was that like? I mean, you've worked with so many, but I feel like Madonna is kind of the apex of like artistic collaborator.
You know, you really realize what an artistic vision she has, and she does really manage a lot of the aspects. So she really likes to put it all together herself. And I really think that was kind of what made it special. You could really see that genius at work, and it was a great experience. I loved her vision.
But can you give me an example? Was she like, it must smell like this tuberose or something like that?
Exactly. So she had a vision of what she wanted. She wanted white florals.
She loves white florals.
And she made me a better perfumer because we were sitting there and one of the steps in the process of making a fragrance is you'll have a finished fragrance and then you'll break it apart into pieces. So it's kind of like, and we cut it into, you know, a few ingredients here, a few ingredients there, and you smell through them to see what the problem is with the fragrance, what you like, what you want more of, and what you want less of. And there was a piece in there, and we were smelling it, and she goes, what's this for? And I said, well, it kind of gives a little bit of sparkle. It gives a little, you know, gives this. She says, leave it out. We don't need this as part of our fragrance. And it really, I use that a lot, that if it's really not part of the vision, just get rid of it. It's superfluous. And so she really did help me at just really kind of reframe, you know, part of creation is what you bring in and also what you leave out.
That's so interesting, really the leaving out. Yeah. And I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes. If I had, you know, woke up that morning, I'm in my apartment, and I have a meeting with Madonna or, you know, SJP, Hillary Duff. Like, you know, these are not your average, like, that's not Bob from accounting, you know, these are not like normal colleagues. These are your colleagues. What is it like? Like, how do you psych yourself up? Or
they're all different. They're, and the best ones, the ones who really are the best to work with, they really are real people. They bring their visions. They bring everything to the table. And they're collaborative. They bring ideas. They listen to ideas. So it is kind of like working with, you know, a colleague when you're the best ones. They really do bring a vision. I mean, Hillary Duff. So when we did the fragrance for Hillary Duff,
she's cute.
She's adorable. And she's also a great, she's a pro. You can really tell she's a pro. And she had a vision when she came in. So at the time, it was all the young celebrities wanted to create these bubblegum fragrances, free, fruity, sweet. And she came in with this candle that she was using that was an amber candle. And we're like, this is amazing. This is going to be a real perfume. And so she really allowed us with her vision to create something that was really sophisticated and really upscale. I mean, I look at that bottle and I look at the design that went into that. And I was really, really proud of that.
What was the name of that fragrance?
That was...
I don't know if she has multiple ones.
With Love.
Hillary Duff with Love.
Because it was also based on her song With Love.
Oh, nice.
And the video was with Kellan Lutz.
Oh my gosh.
The guy from Twilight?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she was in an elevator. It was a great video. And she co-launched the fragrance with the song. It was really, really
cool.
That's cool. Really cute.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I was looking through your resume, I'll call it, of some of the fragrances that you've created. And I noticed a lot of flankers. So I want to talk about that.
That's my favorite word, by
I know.
The way.
So first, for our listeners, can you explain what a flanker is and why brands create them?
Wow.
And then I have a couple more questions.
So the flanker, It usually is kind of falls under an umbrella of a brand. So a brand will bring in a flanker and you can remember, think of the princess and they'll flanker it and they'll do a different wrapper, different color on the bottle. And they'll maybe twist it for maybe a summer fragrance or a winter fragrance. Or every year they'll come out with a new season, a new annual fragrance. So the flanker can be used in many different ways, but it's kind of an umbrella brand that you can put a lot of different things under, a lot of hopes and dreams.
But there's like a star and then the flanker,
usually,
right?
An initial launch. And then, you know, for example, for With Love, she had With Love and then she had a version that came out that was colored pink rather than the amber of the original that was a more fruity direction. So it gives you a way of, you know, kind of expanding the franchise and trying to grow the brand.
And do you have any example, even if you didn't make it, I was curious about this, a flanker that ended up doing better than the original? Like,
that's,
I think,
funny.
Like, there's Miss Dior Cherie, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Issey Miyake. Remember how many there were?
Oh, my
of that?
God. Sport, summer, ice, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes what'll happen is they'll do really well and they'll change the name so it won't be as flankery looking.
Oh.
And I think it was with Armani Code. I think the original launch of Armani Code was Armani Black Code. And then they dropped the black and it just became Armani Code. And I think what happens is if they have a fragrance that really resonates with the consumer, yeah, they're going to keep it. And it's just another way. And they'll either maybe spin it off or they'll support it as a separate brand.
Mm, got it.
That's interesting.
So what are the challenges of building a flanker? When someone comes to you with like, okay, we have this famous thing, say it's Tommy Hilfiger, Tommy Girl, and we want to do a flanker. There's a story built in versus you get to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. Like, which do you prefer one over the other? And what's the difference?
You know, I always say that the most important organ for the perfumer isn't the nose, it's the ear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really listening, and I love being collaborative. I really
That's
do
so
feel.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I never heard of that.
Yeah. I really think that I'm helping you. There's something you want to do that I know how to do, and there's something you bring to the picture through the flanker, there's part of the marketing that you, that you're going to be able to control that I can't touch. And so if we don't work together, it's going to end up like a chimera with, you know, the head of a lion and the tail of a something else. So, or the head of an eagle, I guess, is a chimera and the tail of a lion. So, so you want to work together to make sure it all fits as a whole. Cause when the color of the package works, when you, the smell, when the name, when they all work together, that's when you really have a big success. And so if I can work together and collaborate and we can talk as much as we can to create a vision, then that's when it really works well.
You mentioned that Hilary Duff brought a candle that she really liked. Do the people you're collaborating with, whether it's a marketing team or a celebrity, do they bring like little effects like that? Or do they do a mood board or they just start talking?
It can be anything. I mean, I've seen it all. People have brought in, you know, a sheet of black paper. I want it to smell black.
And is it Lady Gaga?
I reserve the right to say
okay.
Nothing. And, or they can bring in a mood board, something as simple as that, or a text, you know, we need a, it can be very banal. We need a new fragrance that's sexy and fun loving for the 19-year-old to 54-year-old woman who's on the go and career centric. And so they can be also very boring like that. But so I've seen it all. You know, we've gone into rooms that have been completely redecorated as an immersive experience. So, you know, it depends on the brand, depends on what people want. Some people come in and they say, I want to create a fragrance around a specific ingredient. I've done fragrances about bergamot, about orris with a commodity brand. And so it really varies from client to client what the vision is.
Very cool. Is there something that, you know, when you think about all of the things you've done, are there trends in terms of what people really love? Like, does everyone kind of want something that smells, you know, like a skin scent or like a white floral? Yeah. Or what are the big commonalities?
I think people don't say it, but, you know, I mean, I hope it's – people kind of wear fragrance to hook up. You know, it is – you know, part of it is personal, but it is a secret line of communication. And I want people to remember that because you're wearing fragrance for you and people, other people can smell it. And so don't forget that. And remember that it's a way of communicating with others. So I think it's a, you know, I think it's really important that people remember that, the trend is more for, you know, building your own brand. And so the way people dress, is it people put together whatever they want now. You know, you see people with Uggs and a mini skirt and then, and lo and behold, it's Britney Spears, but that's her brand and she can do that. And so as people put together fashion, think about fragrance that way. And I think it's much more less trend based and more individual what you're trying to build with your brand.
Is there a note though that like, listen, if everybody's like, we just want it to be fresher, you're just throwing some jasmine and everything.
Gourmand is still big.
Really?
The yumminess is still really
big. Oh, a
yummy
quality.
Yeah.
Do you think that's ever really going to go away?
You know, you never know. I remember when I was training, the last thing I trained on were white florals, those big opulent florals. And then Marc Jacobs came out and then Michael Kors came out.
Oh, God. White floral.
And they came back. And so you can't know what the future is. I mean, and so for Gourmand, it's hot right now. It's still hot. It's done in a different way. I think it's more textural. I think it's more sensuality rather than edible. You smell like a cookie, but you smell addictive. You want to get closer to it. You want to smell more. So that's really, I think, the way we're building those notes.
So that people understand, like, can visualize or like mentally smell what a gourmand is. What are some big gourmands that you're thinking of when you're talking about that like addictive quality?
Let's go back to a little fragrance history. Like I said at the beginning, you know, the first gourmand trend for me was when we started getting synthetic vanillin and ethyl vanillin and perfumers started overdosing it in fragrances. So you started having things like Shalimar with this big oriental yummy background. Now that yummy overdose trend kind of took a sleeper for a while. We had a floral trend and then it came back with Angel. And Angel was really a stake in the ground in the mid 90s because it was an overdose of an ingredient, a molecule we call ethyl maltol. And ethyl maltol was primarily used in flavors and it gives you a cotton candy note. And when Givaudan developed that fragrance with Thierry Mugler, he smelled that and he said, this is what I want my fragrance to smell like, it because it smells like the fun fair, he said. It smells like a carnival. And so he really created that vision. And that was a rebirth of the gourmand era. And when it first came out, it was very audacious. It was, the concentration was even below what people are using today. but at the time it was really a breakthrough. And so I think that was the beginning of the gourmand trend. And so when you smell Angel, look for that yummy gourmand. It has vanilla in there. It also has toasted almond notes from coumarin. So it has all of those notes. And that really kind of trickled into everything that we have now. So Coco Mademoiselle. But one important thing to notice is that there's patchouli in Angel also. And that accord of ethyl maltol, the sweetness with patchouli, also brought back the Chypre trend, where Chypres are based around this woody, mossy note, primarily patchouli. And so this Chypre trend was another trend that was kind of dead in the 90s. Everything was sheer mm-hmm. and open, but using patchouli and these beautiful wood notes paired with these addictive notes gave you this new trend that is still here today. So you're having fragrances like Attrape Rêve by Louis Vuitton. You're getting Coco Mademoiselle. So that's still on trend, and people are riffing on that and twisting that and doing it in all sorts of different ways.
You made me think, someone DM'd me because Jess and I were talking about fall florals mm-hmm. recently, and they wanted us to fact check something. And I said, we have a perfumer coming on.
Yes.
This person.
The Ambrette thing?
No, about white florals. What are white florals?
Because
we named a couple of the flowers, and one of them that we named, they didn't think was actually a white floral, even though it was white in color. Mm-hmm. So when a perfumer talks about a white floral, what are those flowers that they're talking about?
So that's when perfumers...
This is our listeners. They're smart, okay?
If you lock perfumers in a room...
Oh, you're going to debate.
Exactly. They're going to debate. So typically when you talk about white florals, the archetype of white floral is orange flower absolute. And when we talk about white florals, there's two... It's this, I always like to say, kind of narcotic, night-blooming feeling to them. So gardenia, tuberose, and orange flower. So mm-hmm. those are those rich, opulent, think waxy petals, mm-hmm. think all those, you know, jungle blooms and things like that. Now, there's a white flower that's white that we debate sometimes, and like Lily of the Valley, but that's too sheer. That's more mm-hmm. petally, springtime. So I and some other perfumers primarily put that in the springtime floral group.
Oh, there's a springtime floral.
Hyacinth. Think about things.
Fresher, greener, white.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And those
more dewy.
More dewy, but they also have some spicy notes in them. So when you mm-hmm. look at some of the things like narcissus, there's always a spiciness in there. And typically the one molecule you leave out is methylanthranolate. So methylanthranolate is one of the markers for white floralcy. So typically, you'd like to see the accord of methylanthranolate with indole. So that's that grapey note with this animalic horsey note. And that kind of makes a white floral. But mm-hmm. really, if you're really looking for the one thing that's a marker, I would say methylanthranolate or things that smell like that.
Where does jasmine fit in?
Okay.
So, okay. Uh-oh.
So which,
sorry, guys.
Which, let's see. So let's stump the perfumer. Is this like...
Not jasmine absolute, or do you mean jasmonic, whatever, the like watery one?
I am talking, sir, about the jasmine absolute. And the reason why I thought that was I have some jasmines I love. I'm crazy about them. Crazy. And then some to me always smelled like... Okay, I'm going to say it. Dirty diapers.
Yes.
And then I found out that it's the indoles. Take it away.
There you go. Okay. So first of all, I want to say that there are two jasmine plants that we use in perfumery. There's jasmine grandiflorum, and that's the one that you see in florist shops. It's a little five-petal jasmine. Then there's also a jasmine called jasmine sambac, and that's grown in India, and that's more white floral orange flower. So when you smell that, it smells like orange flower. But the typical jasmine people talk about in classic perfumery is jasmine grandiflorum that's grown in Egypt, for example, in the south of France. Now, that ingredient, it's very multifaceted. It's very narcotic. I wouldn't personally call it a white floral because it doesn't overdose the methylanthranolate. Okay? It's very jasminic.
Which one's the dirty diaper one?
So there's indole in the sambac, which is orange flower.
Okay.
But the dirty diaper also comes to me from the horsey notes.
Yeah.
Horsey. Yeah, yeah. Like hay, like poo hay farm smell. Yeah.
Central Park South.
Yeah. So
So when, when they used to keep all those horses on Central Park South, it's all those notes. And those are the chrysolic notes and the phenylacetic notes. So the chrysols. So we have chrysol, which is one of the ingredients, paracrysyl acetate, paracrysyl phenyl acetate. And then the phenylacetic esters have this honey quality. But they can also, there's also a horsey note associated with that too. So these esters that occur in traces in jasmine give it that horsey, dirty diaper note. The indole by itself, yes, it smells fecal, but it also smells floral. It also smells a little camphoraceous, very piercing. But to me, Indole is a very special ingredient. Natural indole is very clean and very floral, even though it does have that
Where
fecal.
Where do you get natural indole from, extracted from those? That
you can either isolate it from the flower or, you know, a lot of natural molecules. So let's rewind to flavors. When you buy a bottle and it says natural flavors, those flavors can come from a variety of sources. So they can come from a plant material. So a raspberry, you grow it and you extract something from it. But we can also create natural flavors through natural processes. So we can extract something from the ground and transform it with enzymes, for example, or we can ferment it somehow to create a new flavor. And because those are all natural processes, those are natural ingredients. So natural indole can come from that fermentation or a enzymatic transformation process. And those all exist because there's another one of the trends you talk about trends is naturality. And so some consumers want fragrances that are 100% natural. So we're building and bringing in ingredients that are natural aroma molecules that allow us to create natural fragrances.
What kind of notes, like, can you throw some out that are really popular right now?
For natural, you mean?
Yeah.
So for naturals, in the past, it was pretty much more a aromatherapy type of thing. So when you imagine going into Whole Foods and that natural beauty aisle, that kind of smell.
Yeah. So things lavender. Exactly.
Geranium, patchouli.
Eucalyptus?
Eucalyptus, yeah. It's
Jen
great.
And I love eucalyptus. Yeah. We go crazy.
It's a great note.
It's so fabulous.
Energizing, centering. I mean, it does a lot of, it clears the mind. I love it. And so that's kind of where we came from before. But now that we're using more ingredients that are isolated and transferred from the uses in flavors, we're getting into some more yummy notes. We're able to do things like natural raspberry, natural fruits now. And so we're open and so we're able to expand our palate. So it's more mimicking what we were able to do with synthetics.
You're leading. I'm skipping a question, Jess, just because leads to, is there a smell that you wish you'd be able to capture, but you haven't been able to do that way?
Personally or professionally?
Both, maybe.
I love the specificity. You're definitely a chemical engineer.
Yeah. So personally, I love the smell of when water hits dry tile. And I can't, it's so hard for me to understand what kind of aroma molecules I'm getting off that must be so potent at a low level that it creates that wet stone
like
smell.
A shower tile or the cement when it rains?
More like a shower tile.
Okay.
The cement when it rains is also one.
I know what you're talking about just from when I was a swimmer because we had those big showers with the tiles everywhere. Yes. And when all the water went on at once, it smelled like something.
Like wet tile. So that's a personal, but from a professional standpoint.
Our producer's like over there, what are you guys talking about right now?
Put people who are passionate about fragrance in a room and let them talk.
We could be here another hour. Yeah. Okay, so then professionally.
Professionally, I think we've got a really great palette. You know, I work in the number one fragrance house in the world, Givaudan, and we have everything you can dream of. And even things you can't, your biggest fragrance nightmare, we also have. So we have everything. We have so many different things to work with. But from a natural standpoint, things like ambrette seed has a natural musk in it. And those materials are so expensive, but there's a complexity and a richness to them that you just can't stop smelling them. And so to have those at prices that I could overdose in, you know, more fragrances would be really great. And so, you know, those natural notes, there's something, I always say that perfumery is inspired by nature. Nature really drives so much of what we do. We discover things in nature and then we try to recreate it in our work. And so those things, if we could even get better closer to them, I mean, that's just a dream. And ambrette seed is one of them.
While I'm thinking about this, because I'm just picturing you at work, like sniffing the ambrette and like, oh, there he goes with the ambrette again. Like, that's your thing. Yeah. do different perfumers have different kind of signatures? Would you say that like, oh, you know, Khalees, she's all about the blah, blah, blah. You know, like just, you know, your own coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your thing?
Oh, my, you know, I'm pretty much all over the place. I think it's because of my background from flavors. I think I pull a lot of that though.
Okay.
I really feel that's my wheelhouse. So I feel comfortable doing, you know, putting that yummy top note on top, whether it's a juicy tropical passion fruit. I was working on a passion fruit note today and trying to pull in some interesting things. And so that's my wheelhouse. That's my go-to. Whereas, you know, you have people like Rodrigo, and back to white florals. He is the king of white florals. He's a genius, and it all goes back to the way he was raised. You know, he always talks about his experiences with the white florals when he was growing up in Mexico. And that experience, you know, you never lose that. It's imprinted.
Yeah.
And that helps build mastery. So, and Khalees, I mean, she's just, I mean, she was a great cook. And so I think she always brought in a lot of that inspiration also. You know, the plum note in Chador, she created a plum compote, and she used that as part of her inspiration for the J'adore plum note. And the Tommy Girl, when she did Tommy Girl.
I love Tommy Girl.
Brings me back to
it's
high
so
school.
Good. It's so good.
It's so good.
Why is it so good?
It's so good.
Floral, but not floral. Fresh, but not fresh.
It sparkles.
Citrus, but not citrus.
She's a genius. Well, that's the first thing. She's a genius. Second of all, she works so hard. And third of all, she finds inspiration in crazy places. And so for Tommy Girl, it was inspiration from Darjeeling tea. And every morning she would drink Darjeeling tea, and she would sit there smelling the top of the Darjeeling tea. And then she said, I need to create
so
a fragrance based on that. And
so that's wait, where Tommy Girl is actually like, what is Tommy Girl? It's a floral, right?
It's a floral, yeah.
But it has a tea floral.
It's a tea floral. See, so that's part
that
of the freshness.
That gives it that like fresh.
Yeah.
It's more sophisticated than like you think when you see the bottle,
yes.
You know, and Tommy Girl. And then you put it on and people, I wore it like this like 10 years ago. But I remember wearing it once to a beauty event and mm-hmm. someone was like, oh my God, you smell amazing.
Like, are you wearing La Labo?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Like, and I told her and she almost like, I think she was like embarrassed. It was just like so, like she just, I think she thought it was going to be something really
cool
obscure.
And niche.
Niche.
Yeah.
And,
it's like Clinique Happy. Like, it was a good scent.
Clinique Happy is like the bomb.
That's Rodrigo. He's another genius.
Yeah.
Yes. So, they're all, I pinch myself every day. I work with
amazing. We should have brought them on instead of Steven. No, I'm just kidding.
And with that, we'll be leaving.
I'm
changing my podcast.
So Givaudan, all these fragrances are from the Givaudan perfumers, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
And Khalees, you know, she would test each ingredient for its performance and to make the accord, what it blends with. So she was looking at things because Tommy Girl has great trail also. So she was always optimizing it for performance. And that's, you know, that's the more mundane part of the job too. You can create this great accord, but if it doesn't last or if it doesn't trail, your client really needs to be able to make it perform. Yeah. It needs to perform. And so that's, you know, you optimize and the set. It's the hard work behind the scenes that makes sense.
Because I honestly feel like those are the ones that go viral or that everybody loves because they start asking other people what they're wearing because they just like have that trail
like,
to them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I like a fragrance that lasts.
Yeah.
And that's, I always say that's one of the important things about repurchase is that when people compliment you on your fragrance, oh my gosh, you smell so good. And then you're like, ooh, I'm going to get some more of that.
Like you need like more validation. Yeah.
And if nobody notices it, you're like, oh.
That must not have been good.
That was a bust.
Exactly.
That was a stinker, not a flanker.
So what fragrances do you find yourself wearing again and again?
You know, I wear so much fragrance with my job. I've got women's fragrance on right now. I hope I'm not stinking up the sound booth.
Yeah.
And, but there's a couple things. I love lemon. And Khalees Becker did the reformulation of Monsieur Balmain, which is a lemon fragrance with this beautiful.
The Balmain fragrance is a lemon fragrance?
So the original Monsieur Balmain.
Okay. I'm picturing like the latexy Balmain hard, edgy fashion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true.
But it's lemon.
This was a classic that I think was developed in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
And Khalees had a hand in the reformulation back, I think, in the early 70s, I think. And that's still one of those ones I can get every fragrance free, and that's still one I'll pay full price for.
Because that's what beauty editors say. We're like, you know what? I pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's how much I like
it. And that's my go-to. Ooh. And I also have a few little accords that I wear on the weekend. And so I have a little accord I call Air Lucence. That's kind of an industry secret among my colleagues.
Not anymore.
Uh-oh. But it's a little accord I create and that it's kind of like a palate cleanser for the weekend, kind of a fragrance, non-fragrance, so that when you need something for the weekend that you can, that's an easy go-to.
What's in Air Lucence?
Oh, well, that
we'll
is the
secret. We'll describe it for lay people.
Yeah.
You don't have to give us the molecules.
So the whole point of it is to be super sheer and super diffusive. So it's really, really transparent. It's airy and it's lucent. So translucent, so Air Lucence.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel heavy, but when you wear it, it's just radiant and people smell you and go, oh, you smell so good.
And you can't buy this, right? This
no.
is, you guys are all passing it to each other.
That's right.
Okay. That's cool.
I have people who come back into town and they're like, can I get a bottle of Air Lucence? And I'm like, what's it worth to you? Did you bring me candy from the duty free?
You even named it. I love that.
Yeah. That's really funny. I love that.
And
very
any
cool.
other, as just like a last question, any other grooming or beauty products that you love, we ask everybody who's on the show. Or even an aftershave or whatever it might be.
So, Yeah. So right now I'm obsessed with the new Crest for Kids Strawberry Rush toothpaste.
Oh my God. That's the best answer we've gotten yet.
This
true
is
or not
so
true.
Good.
And I love it. It just makes me so happy.
Do you brush with it?
Yes, of course. And whenever I see it in the store, because it does sell out, it's quite popular among the under 12 group.
Okay.
And so whenever I see it, I buy a couple tubes and I love it. It's so easy and it's a great juicy strawberry.
You feel fresh after though? Some of those fruity things, I don't feel like fresh.
You know, I don't need to feel fresh. It makes me feel happy. And I think that's more why I use it.
Oh.
If I need to use, you know, fresh, I've got mouthwash and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You could do that. Yeah.
And so really I think of it more as a deliverable for fluoride. Okay. My oral cavity. And I just love
so chemy. Yeah. I love it.
It's a deliverable.
So that's one of my, that's my secret product.
Crest strawberry. Love it. Oh my God. I learned so
yeah,
much.
This is awesome.
This is like a science class and a perfumery class. So
and I know
fun.
When I'm buying at Duane Reade later.
Please turn in your tests. This is
the Crest.
Yeah.
Okay. But I also want to ask for the Air Lucents.
Oh, I don't know. I think he'll have to kill us.
Stephen, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really love talking about fragrance, and you guys are tremendous, a lot of fun.
It's time to raise a wand.
Let's do it. Okay, raising a wand to another podcast. Don't you love when we do this?
You know, more pod love. The world needs more pod love right now.
I know. We're not like TV or other things where you compete with the other shows. We love the other shows. There is a fun new show out called 14 Days with Felicity. Oh, you know the concept. You can tell already.
So it's like fictional Felicity, if I'm saying this right. It's like a fictional account of like Felicity Huffman's first 14 days.
In case you haven't had the Schadenfreude update.
Oh my God.
Felicity Huffman went to jail for 14 days.
She was out after 11.
Okay, whatever. But because of the college scandals, which we've talked about several times.
Oh my God.
So the script
I'm still intrigued like it happened yesterday. What's wrong with me?
Because it's a great story and we can all get on board with it. As can the writers of 14 Days with Felicity. It's a fictionalized, serialized series about what if Felicity snuck a phone into jail. And so it's the voice memos, but then also the people she's calling. The voice actors are so delightful. They're like kind of over the top parody, but they just make me giggle. And the daughter is like my absolute favorite character.
It takes talent to do that show.
To do the voice acting?
Yeah.
The woman kind of sounds like Felicity. Like, and then what's her husband's name, the famous guy? Oh my God, he's like
William Macy.
So whoever plays the William Macy character, sounds like William Macy. What if William Macy like secretly did this project while Felicity
Or he's just listening, being like, what the fuck did my wife do?
Oh my God, she's crazy. No, it's actually just an actor. But anyway, 14 Days with Felicity, available where you get your podcasts. We'll put a link to it on the show.
I like funny podcasts. Like I need.
Oh, they're only like 10 or 12 minutes per episode.
Oh, perfect.
It's like a little drop in, drop out. Thank God I'm not in jail like Felicity Huffman.
She really had it coming, huh?
Yeah. Raise a wand.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.